transformed, transferred, and transfigured. Altogether, what is it? Now that's the experience of everyone who is a Christian. First of all, let us read about the Lord Jesus Christ. To be transformed has a double meaning. One meaning is metamorphosis, which means to change your form. Now that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He was in the form of God. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. When we say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's always true concerning his eternal deity. But we realize that before Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, he was not in the form that he was while he spent 33 years here on earth. Now he does not have exactly the same form today that he had while he was on earth. He was transfigured. And we read concerning him in the 14th verse of the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now that refers to the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He goes on to tell us about it in the 53rd chapter. And the Hebrew here is that he was disfigured beyond recognition. And that was not very long after he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. If you have read the description of Christ on the cross and how they nailed him to that cross, how they crowned him with the crown of thorns, and the things that they did to him, they spit upon him and then they beat him. He was disfigured beyond recognition. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, in addition to his divine nature, took upon himself human nature, that you and I, in addition to our human nature, might become partakers of his divine nature. In the 17th chapter of Matthew, we have the picture of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. The 17th chapter of Matthew, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now right here, let us remember this. We read in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians concerning Christians in the 49th verse, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And in 1 John 3:2, we read this. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had a very unique experience. He was permitted to go from earth to heaven in a transfigured body without going to the grave. Some are going to have that same experience. We're Christians. As we read in Philippians 3:20 and 21, you'll remember there we have the words that you and I are going to have bodies like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and give up these bodies of humiliation. According to the 5th chapter of Ephesians, the Lord Jesus is going to present the church unto himself as a glorious church, a holy church, not having blemish or spot or wrinkle. Think of that. Without spot or blemish or wrinkle. Now notice what happened here. Peter refers to this in his epistle. He said, we beheld the Lord's kingdom and his coming when we were with him on the holy mount. He wrote that in his epistle. How he referred to this experience. Christ was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now you will remember that Moses died and was buried by God. And Michael had an argument with the devil concerning the body of Moses. Satan contended for the body of Moses. And Michael did not bring railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But God had that body. One day Elijah, like Enoch, was walking along, and they saw him go up through the cloud. Now Elijah didn't die. Moses died, and God buried him. Moses and Elijah are transfigured here with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. No wonder. He didn't want to go back down from that mountain for persecution when he could have such a glorious experience. It'll be good for us to be there too. When you and I are transfigured like Moses and Elijah and the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to certainly say it's good to be here. Anybody in the room that's not going to be there? Are you going to be there? I don't know why they cut out one verse in that scripture Brother Gill read. They cut out a very important verse. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's good. But the other part is wonderful. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed to the image of his Son. What does the Lord mean in the 12th chapter of Romans? To present your body a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of your mind and be not conformed unto this world. A worldly Christian is a paradox. The Christian is in the world, he's not of the world. He has been transformed and he's been transferred. Colossians, the first chapter, the 13th verse says that you and I have been delivered from the power of darkness and we have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Now, beloved, you may transfer your church membership. There may be people in here who belong to many different church organizations. You've moved from one town to the other. They take you in by the letter. But I want to tell you, if you've ever been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, that's the only transfer you need to get into heaven. Transferred. We were walking according to the course of this world. We were by nature the children of wrath. We were in the world having no hope. But God, who is rich in mercy for the great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together. Now the transformation and being transferred and being transfigured is altogether a divine transaction. You haven't anything to do with it. You may have something to do with asking for a letter to be transferred from one local assembly to another. But what do you have to do to be transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love? What do you have to do to be transformed? All you have to do is to be like Hannah. Hannah says, I am like a beggar on a dunghill. You have to do what the Apostle Paul did as Saul of Tarsus. He said, I thought I was a pretty good man. I was trying to keep the law and I was very religious. And he said, I found out that I was a poor, lost, condemned sinner with all of my religion. And I took the whole thing and I threw it away and I received Christ. And one day he met God at Calvary and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Then he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was transformed. If any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. You can't create yourself. You have to be created by God. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He did the work by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. As many as received Christ, to them were given the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. You don't have anything to do with it. All you do is to say, I'm the poor, ungodly, hell-deserving, lost sinner for whom Christ died. And receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you become God's workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to the Galatians, and the Galatians had been sinners, and they took on religion with the Jews, and they got all mixed up with Judaism and Christianity. And the sixth chapter of Galatians, Paul wrote this, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but the new creation. Doesn't make any difference how religious you are, how moral you are, how upright you are, how benevolent, how charitable, how philanthropic you may be, how honest in all your dealings with your fellow man. Neither circumcision, the religion of the Jews, nor the religion of the Gentile availeth anything, but a new creation. And if you are not recreated by Almighty God and conformed to the image of His Son, by the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you'll never see inside of heaven. Thousands upon thousands of self-righteous people that think they're going to get into heaven. Strange to hear men say, I hear them on the television, are you afraid of death? They have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say no. They may not be afraid of death because they may be, as the Lord said, their past feeling. Their conscience seared as with a hot iron. Their past feeling. Some people have absolutely no conscience. Think of the gangster there in New York, responsible for the death of 40 different people. Do you think it bothered him any? Somebody comes in and shoots him. He's gone. He's dead. Where is he now? Well, he's in the same place that the self-righteous, moral, upright, lovely, sweet lady, church member who's unsaved will go to the same place. The world's divided into just two groups, those that are saved and those that are lost. Those that have Christ and those that have not Christ. Here's the transformation. When God saves you, He takes you out of Adam and He puts you in Christ. He takes you out of the world and He puts you in the church. And then you're saved. And you become a partaker of the divine nature, and then God seals you with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, and even those of us who have received the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For though the outward man rot thoroughly, the inward man is renewed day by day. When God made Adam, Adam didn't look like any of us. We are all disfigured because of sin. We have bodies of humiliation. These bodies are rotting thoroughly. They're corruptible bodies. And as long as we're here, just remember, if the Lord doesn't come, the death rate of the human race will be one apiece, saint or sinner. And you look at them, as I told you about two men, they look like twins. They so much alike. If you'd leave one man and then go down the block and see the other man. One of them was one of the great outstanding preachers of this country. The other man was a notorious gambler. One was on the road to heaven. The other one was on the road to eternal perdition. They both have died. The saint and the sinner, they've died. But they both had they were disfigured in their bodies by sin. Every hospital in the country is taxed to capacity today. Our daughter called up and said, I don't know what in the world my husband's going to do for rest. Night and day, running to the sick. Night before last, a godly boy in a godly family where they loved the Lord fell off of a truck and broke his back. And they have all kinds of injuries and sickness of every kind. Why? Because we have bodies of humiliation. Inside, we've been conformed to the image of God's Son. And someday, these bodies of humiliation are going to be fashioned like unto His body of glory. And as we born the image of the earthy, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to be transfigured. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now while the Lord was up on the mountain, Peter said, it's good for us to be here. And immediately the Lord Jesus changed the conversation. And when they went down from the mountain, they asked the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, what was the Lord talking about in the last part of that conversation? He said he was talking about Calvary. While he was transfigured, he was talking about being disfigured on the cross. The central thought of all the Bible is the death of the Son of God on Calvary's cross. The holy, sinless, eternal Creator who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness is not an attainment, it's a gift. And if you are not saved this morning, God wants to save you right now. All you need to do is to do what the rest of us have done if we're saved. Acknowledge that you are lost and go by faith and believe that the wages of sin is death and the free gift of God is eternal life. And the moment you do that, God will deliver you from the power of darkness. He will transfer you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He'll seal you unto the day of redemption. And that sealing of the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Someday, some hour, some moment, it may be before you have your dinner tonight. The same Lord Jesus that died on that cross is coming. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, every member of the body of Christ is going to be transfigured. And we're going to have bodies of glory, just like His body of glory. And what a glorious body it'll be. It'll be an incorruptible body because we're going to have an incorruptible inheritance that's reserved in heaven and that never fades away. Have you been transformed? Have you been transferred? You know that someday you're going to be transfigured. Enoch walked with God and Enoch was not, for God took him. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, God never tells you in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Grace, He never tells you one single thing that you must do. Not once. In the Old Testament, is you must, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Why? They're a race of servants. We haven't received the spirit of bondage unto fear. We're a race of sons. We've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And God, our Heavenly Father, speaks to us as a son. He doesn't say you must. He doesn't say thou shalt. But He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beg you for Christ's name, present your body a living sacrifice. I beg you, love not the world, neither the things of the world. All that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Come out from among them and be ye separate and unclean. We're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God our Savior. So He said, I beseech you, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just to think of the people in the church who are conformed to the world. They must have the world. They must have all the ungodliness of the world to satisfy their soul. If you're to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and read your Bible every day, you'll be so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that the things of this world will not appeal to you. And if they do, there's something wrong with you. You need to be changed. Be not conformed to this world. We're already conformed to the image of God's Son, and someday we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. And forever and ever and ever and ever, by the infinite, matchless grace of God, in glorified bodies, we're going to be in heaven. Brother Steele, come up and lead in prayer, and Brother Steele has an announcement to be made.